Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. Jeffrey Dopkin is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of Uncommon Marketing Techniques and How to Market a Product for Under $500. And he's going to help us with that. Jeffrey, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks. Now, do people just turn on because they like the Allman Brothers?
That's exactly what they do.
It's the old school, Jim, just like me.
Yep, that's exactly right. We have things on here older than the Allman Brothers. You know, I prefer to think of them as classic.
Yeah, me too.
See, when my kids try to tell me I'm old, I tell them I'm classic.
My kids refer to me as a relic.
Yeah. tell them you're a classic. That changes the whole dynamic.
Yes, I'm one removed.
Well, and see, that's what small business owners have to do. Sometimes we've been around for a while. We have to dust off our image and dust off our approach to the marketplace and see if we can't come up with some new ideas and new ways to penetrate the market, right?
Uh-huh. Yes, and I understand you're talking about branding.
Yep.
I like that. I like, because I've made a number of logos for companies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an unusual mark because I think a logo, once you start repeating your advertising and repeating your marketing to the same audience, which are people who, in my field of marketing, are the most likely to buy. That's the way I define the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And the logo is something that people have to remember the second time they see it.
Right.
So the first time they see it, doesn't matter because
it imprints on their brain a little bit if it's done right.
Yeah. So that the second time they recognize it, that's the mark of a good logo. So
it needs to be unusual and it would be good if it could be a little bit intuitive, right?
It would be good and also dark. You have to be able to see it. You have to be able to see it when it's sitting on a table. So if you're standing up and you're sitting looking at an ad and it's on the table, your eyes should go to the logo. Doesn't mean it has to be big. It just means it has to be a significant mark.
You know, one of the early things I learned about advertising was the concept of white space.
Uh-huh.
White space is your friend in advertising, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah,
because I mean, how many times have you driven by? I know outdoor advertising is not your long suit necessarily, but it applies to a postcard that you would mail. I know you do a lot of direct mail consulting, Jeffrey. But when you drive by a billboard, and you're only going to see it for maybe 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have to read anything. It should be so simple that you could just see it.
Right. You got four or five words. And, you know, Jim, most of the stuff that I do, when I do some writing for clients, I design everything for three levels. One is when the guy sees it right away, mm-hmm. and that draws them in. That's those first four or five words.
Like maybe what's on the envelope, perhaps.
Right. Or in a billboard. And then after that, the next one, I guess, would be for the guy who thinks he's interested and wants to continue to read. That's the subhead. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is for the guy that's sitting at the light and he reads everything, or the guy that's flipping the pages and now he's stopped. He's read that magic headline, the subhead. Then he starts digging into it. So three levels of readership for almost all printed material.
And so we got to have something for everybody, but it might be the same person, right?
It might be. I aim my stuff. I threw a very loose headline, a very loose qualifying net, because I want everybody to read stuff. I want to bring everybody in. Okay, you're all interested in this? Come on, read it. And then as they read it, I kind of filter through people to people who are thinking about buying, and then to the more serious buyers.
So it's like a little series of nets that you put people through until you finally wind up in the last net. You've got just the people who will, who are good prospects.
Yes, and I like to do that because if we're sending, if a client's sending out literature, we don't want to send it to everybody who's not interested.
Right.
So because
direct mail is a shotgun approach. Is some people can do it, but they got a lot of money. Small business owners can't do that.
That's right.
We have to focus, don't we?
In direct mail, a test in direct mail may be 4,000 or 5,000 pieces to a large mailer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cell that they test, and then they test other against other 4,000 or 5,000 piece runs, and then at the end of sending out 25,000 or 50,000 pieces, they know which is going to work best, which list is going to work, which offer is going to work. But as a small business owner, you don't got that kind of money.
Exactly. Stand by, Jeff. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Jeffrey Dopkin is our good friend, the author of How to Market a Product for Under $500. He and I will be right back after these messages. 20 till. Here are the Stones to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 till. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Jeffrey Dopkin as we kick off our 10th year on the air. Jeff, we celebrated 9 years last week.
Wow.
How about this? You're helping us start our 10th year on the air.
It's been that long.
Yeah.
I don't feel a day older.
Time flies when you're having fun. Give us your website, Jeff.
Website is Dopkin.com, D-O-B-K-I-N.com.
What are we
got a lot of my articles up there.
Your books? We can find your books there?
You can find my books. I got a couple new books coming out.
What are they?
Direct Marketing Strategies. It's a compilation of, I guess, about 25 of the articles that I've written. My articles are published in and out of a couple hundred magazines, so I'm very fortunate. And also, Successful Low-Cost Marketing Methods. I like to stay home and true to my roots, which is the small business owner and the entrepreneur.
Right.
Man, these guys are great.
They are. They're the best.
They got the chutzpah.
That's right. They do a high wire act without a net.
That's right.
And you do it too. You and I both are in that category. We're talking about taking our product to market, and you were telling us a little bit about how to sort of net that ultimate customer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, marketing to me is paring down everything you're doing so you don't waste advertising monies. That's the real problem is, if you got a lot of money, you can make a mistake and you can recover.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ain't got all that backup money, you need to get it right the first time. So a little bit of thought in the first part of the decision-making process and a little bit of clever testing without big money allows you to move forward without wasting a lot of money or making a big mistake ever.
And well, so some of the people that you want to reach, on radio, you've got all the different venues. You've got talk, you've got country, you've got rock, you've got whatever different options that you have out there that you can advertise on. Find out who your customers, who your prospects are. Find out what they like to do and let them find you in those venues. Maybe it's one of the things that you can do with newspaper, for example. Just to be fair about this, Jeff, is, you could have an ad circulated in a newspaper in a neighborhood.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the two questions
Pardon me. You can, and also back to your thing, you can find lists and addresses of people and just mail to those in a neighborhood or just to, people whose names start with a B who live on Elm Street, wherever they are in America. You can buy those lists, can't you?
Yes, you can find almost anything in a list. And as far as neighborhood lists, there's a directory called the Kohl's Directory, which gives a listing by address. And so you can actually mail to all your neighbors. Now, I'd like to do two things with marketing. I like to ask my clients where their customers are. Who are their customers? Because I like to clone them.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can find that, then...
Jeffrey, though, here's what the unfortunate part. If you asked a lot of small business owners that question, too many of them, I'm afraid, couldn't really answer that question intelligently. Because you know why? They haven't thought about it.
That's when I smack them upside their head and I say, oh, we need to talk about this. Because if you want to find more customers, let's look in your own data files and figure out exactly who
it is.
Isn't
that the first step? We got to educate ourselves on who likes our stuff.
Uh-huh. And who's ready to buy? That's mm-hmm. the next group. Where are our competitors advertising? Because we may not like our competitors, but they ain't stupid. So if I find a competitor's ad and it's running for a long time and either in any media, whether it's radio or TV or newsprint or magazine, then I say, let's take a shot. Put our ad out there. He must know something.
Right. Well, it's important. That's a balancing act that I think that businesses have to make between focusing on the customer and focusing on the competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And I do warn people about spending too much time focusing on the competitor and not enough on the customer.
Well, the customer files, they are the first place to look.
Right.
Because and as a small business owner, you should know where your customer base is. I mean, that's kind of a given. Mm-hmm. So if a client doesn't know that, we sit down and we figure that out. It's fortunate because in direct mail, there are some tremendous lists out there that quantify and qualify almost everybody. So if you're looking for people who own schnauzers that are left-handed, there's a list out there that has just those people, and you can find it. You just got to dig a little bit.
And so we've identified who our customers are, who our prospects are, and we've identified where they live. We got their names and addresses. Now what do we do?
Now, since we have a very tight list, we simply mail them a great offer. And I'd like to offer something, and I also like to offer a free booklet that explains more. So the people call up and they say, I have a big phone number in all my ads, and I want people to call up and ask for a free booklet. Then when you talk to people on the phone, you can figure out where they are in the buying cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So a guy calls up and he says, well, I'd like your free booklet on this product. You say, oh, gee, are you thinking about buying one? Mm-hmm. Were you thinking about red or green, or did you have a color in mind?
So whoever answers the phone has to be trained and prepared to get the most out of that contact, don't they?
Yes, that's right.
That's one of the big things. I think some small business owners will do advertising or direct mail, but they're not prepared for the response, which is incredible.
And I like to get all that stuff right.
We'll get you to help us with that when we come back after these messages. It's 10 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Jeff Dopkin. Jeffrey Dopkin is the author of Uncommon Marketing Techniques and a number of other books, which you can find on his website at Dobkin, Dobkin.com. I encourage you to check it out. Can they get your joke book there, too?
Yes, they can. They can see all the jokes in the joke book. So you got 100 jokes on site, 100 of the signed jokes. And then, of course, you can call me and order them.
Or call him and he'll tell you a joke, folks.
That's right.
Okay, Jeffrey, we got our folks to we've put together the brand. We've come up with some really smart wording. We've created a great offering for our direct mail or for our advertising piece, whatever it is, for our radio ad or newspaper ad, whatever. But we've got the customer now. We got a prospect, I should say. Now these people were suspects. When we mailed it out to them, or when we put the ad out over the radio or over the newspaper, television, whatever, everyone who heard that was a suspect. But now they've taken action. And so they've sort of pre-qualified themselves, and they've called in. Now they're kind of a prospect. We've got to make sure that we know how to handle these very important people, don't we, Jeff?
Yes, they are the most important people in the marketing chain. But now people call up, and if you get to me, I'm going to tell you something.
Right.
you're going to buy. But with other people in the firm, maybe not. But we are going to capture a couple things. One is we're going to ask right up front, how did you hear of our company?
Right. You got to do that.
Right. And that what that does is it. After you get a couple hundred people saying, well, I saw you in the phone book, or I heard you on this station, or I heard, you know, saw you on this program.
That's
or
how you know where to spend your money next time, isn't
it? That's right. Then you know what advertising is working. The other thing we try and do is capture an address, whether it's an email address or it's a physical address, because that way we can create a marketing campaign that is sustained over time. So I know when the guy hangs up on me that I don't cease to exist. I know I can reach him again mm-hmm. by mailing to him. And that's the elements of a great campaign.
I think. Hopefully they've asked you for this offer that you've made them, this free offer that you've made them. And so there's no way, you know, they either have to come in or you have to mail it to them. That's another way of connecting to them, isn't it?
Right.
And depending on the value. Don't lose that information. Use it.
Absolutely.
Manage
depending
it.
On the value of what we're selling, that's how many contacts I'm afforded to be able to make to him. So if we're selling a $10 subscription to a magazine, obviously I can't call them every week. But if I'm selling a $25,000 printing press or a new Lexus car, then I know that I've got room in the budget to contact him multiple times.
So now that I've got him or her online, and we've collected the basic, you know, how did you find us, that sort of thing. Now what do I do?
Now, once you can capture an address, if he's not going to buy immediately, then, and some people don't feel comfortable with the first contact, I would set up additional contacts, either if it's an important person by phone, or if it's a person who would respond better through the mail, then by mail. And I would stay in top-of-mind awareness by mailing to him multiple times throughout the year. And because a campaign is not a single effort of something. Mm-hmm. A campaign is a sustained effort over time. So, and I like those multiple touch points. That's why postcard campaigns are great, because without a lot of effort, you can mail to somebody every 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So in every 4 to 6 weeks, that turns out 10, 15 times a year. Hey, that's fine. So for under $5, I can stay in top of mind awareness by mailing to somebody once a month.
And when someone contacts you, that's a happy moment for them. That's the happiest moment with regard to your company so far. And that's, isn't that a great time to say, we'll be glad to send you this, and would it be okay if we continue to contact you about some of our other things that we have, that we offer, that you might be interested in? In other words, get them to, and more than likely they're going to say, sure. And we say, how would you prefer that we contact you? Is email okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or is a phone number okay? Whatever.
Yes, for an opt-in email list, that's a great way to qualify a person. Or even traditional mail. I mean, I'm a old-school, traditional guy. I like to mail people out things that they can physically hold. Because I know when I get an email, man, I'm very fast on the delete button because I get so many of them.
Jeffrey, you got to work on this old-school thing, man. I'm telling you, you're classic. You got to work with me because us old guys got to stick together.
Okay.
We're classics. We're not old school. We're not relics. We're classics. Hey, Jeff, thanks for being here. Give us your website one more time.
It's Dobkin.com, D-O-B-K-I-N.com. Thanks.
Check it out when you get a chance. Jeff, thanks for your good job today.
Uh-huh.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program, as always, is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.